Welcome to My Hometown, the program that explores clubs, organizations, businesses, and issues across Nassau and Suffolk counties and sheds light on the different towns that are making a difference.
And good day. I'm your host, Bill Horan, along with Bob Wolf of Rockville Center and founder of Hope Skills. Bob, thanks for being with us today.
You're very welcome, Bill.
Bob, what is Hope Skills?
Hope Skills is a program that's part of Hope the Students Bridge to Business. I started that company in order to teach students basic skills that they needed to transition from academics, the world of me, to employment, the world of we.
From me to we. What are the skills, though? I guess we all feel that when you say academics, don't we get these schools and these skills in high school, college, graduate school, et cetera?
Well, some students do. Many students really get the skills at home from their mom and dad, their aunt and uncle, their grandfather and grandmother. On the other hand, unfortunately, with the advent of so much utilization of technology today, many of these skills are being lost, and they're being supplanted with screens and keyboards.
It's kind of sad. Now, how did you come about actually getting into this, though? What precipitated your move into this?
Well, I've always enjoyed working with kids. I was a youth sports coach for years, basketball, soccer, and baseball in Rockville Center. And I believe in encouraging kids in any way that I can. Even as a coach, I would teach the basics. So what happened was, as I was working out in the gym, there were some young kids I worked out with who were struggling to find jobs, who were struggling to get interviews, and they were sending out hundreds of resumes with absolutely no response. So I began giving them some tips and creative ways to make yourself stand out. And from that, the acknowledgement I got from them was unbelievably rewarding. So about 19 years ago, I was sitting in my office in Garden City because I was a business development consultant at the time. And I said to my wife, I'm really tired of working with businesses. I want to spend more time with kids because the things that I've been telling them, they don't know. So she said, well, what does that mean you're going to do? I said, well, I'm going to go to schools. I'll go to organizations and I'll come up with a program. And I applied for two trademarks, Hope and Help Other People Excel, for education, mentoring, training, and motivation, and was lucky enough to get the trademarks. So I said to my wife, I'm going to move now from the world of business to the world of education, but mainly focused on the skills that you use every day in business and sharing them with kids in a very simplistic way that they can understand, apply, and benefit from now, not later.
You're kind of the one-man band. You're the professor, the teacher, the dean, the founder of the school, the whole works.
Well, in life, I think that the one thing I've learned more than anything else is the most important thing is your ability to relate to, earn support from, and work effectively with people. That's the only thing that's consistent in every job, any type of work, and every career. So we hear the terms people skills. You got to have good people skills, or you need good life skills, or you need good interpersonal skills. And in the beginning, I began asking the students and even the teachers, well, what are these things? And they couldn't define them. So taking my acronym KISS, keep it simple and specific, not the old one, keep it simple, stupid, I began to think that there's got to be some basic skills that are universally needed and applied and beneficial no matter what you do for a living. So I first came out with three skills. It was called ICP, interpersonal, communication, and presentation. Those were the skills that I started the Hope Skills program with. But then about a year or two later, I was at St. John's University speaking with student athletes. I asked a bunch of them, how many of you would like to be in sales? And one student out of about 80 raised his hand. So I realized that there was a light bulb came on. I was missing another skill. I was missing the skill of selling, which they weren't being taught at all. And then about 5 years ago, a teacher from high school here on Long Island said to me, could I come in and talk to the kids about making a first impression? And I said, I don't know. I've not done that. So I developed another skill set called first impression skills, and I then put that at the forefront. So now there were five skills, and those five skills are the basis of the Hope Skills program that I've been presenting to high schools, colleges, and graduate schools for almost 19 years.
I think this is just so wonderful because so many of the people, as I said to you when we talked before the show, really lack a lot of these skills in the world today. I go into a store. I don't get thanked for my business. It's almost I'm doing them a favor. If I call an office and the person isn't there, the assistant, the secretary, will tell me, you can call back. Well, I know I can call back, but I just called you, and you don't know that I might not have $1 million worth of business for your boss, and you're kind of blowing me off.
Well, it's really interesting because the student, I was at a high school in Staten Island about 2 months ago presenting to the entire junior class, and one of the students said to me after the class, he said, "Bob, I'd like to ask you a question, but I don't want to sound condescending when I ask it." I thought, uh-oh, I'm not sure where this is going. So the question was, when did you decide that you could make a living teaching common sense? And I thought to myself, well, and I answered it by simply saying, when I realized that students today don't have it. I see, I believe you can teach common sense. I believe you have to be taught not to cross the street in traffic. You have to be taught not to put your finger on a flame. And you have to be taught to be nice, to be courteous, to be respectful. And then the accrued benefits that come to you as a result of doing that are significant.
But I love that comment from the student, and he was very respectful and kind about it. But really, that's what you are teaching people.
Well, it's sad to say, but common sense isn't common anymore. The rudeness in business, and it's been written up many, many times, is significant. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about 3 years ago that I cut out, and the title of the article was, "Recent College Graduates Lack Professionalism." And I thought, how is that possible? I mean, how is someone coming out of college and not understanding professional behavior? Well, it's simply because it's not taught. With all the advent to Common Core and STEM Hub and all the courses that they're being required to teach now in high school, we're neglecting those human interaction, I call them, knowledge applied skills. Because no matter how much knowledge you have and information you have, if you can't convert it and relate it to someone else's benefit, it's useless to you to earn a living.
And for instance, you were talking about resumes, but even if you get that call from a resume, if you can't present yourself the way the employer wants or what they're expecting to see, all that resume writing, preparation, excitement, disappointment is wasted because you're not going to get the job, but the next person in just maybe went to one of your classes.
Well, hence the first impression skills are so important. You know, the first few seconds, the first few minutes, and the lingering stage are the three stages of making a first impression. And when I tell kids that, they just look at me with a funny look on their face. As far as a resume goes, that's really an interesting topic because writing a resume is creative writing 101 for many people. And if you can't verbalize that resume, if you can't tell the story about every job that's on there, and we learn in life by stories in general. We know that for a long time. So I tell the kids, if you write it down, be able to then speak it with passion and enthusiasm and make the listener go, wow, that's an interesting way to look at that job.
One day I was sitting out in front of the courthouse and I was just watching people go by, most of them lawyers because they were parked in the lawyer's parking lot and you could see from their briefcase. And I started thinking to myself, if I had an important case, who would I want to represent me based on their two-second impression? They just passed my car and I'm watching them. And I thought, I wondered if they ever thought of themselves like that. There were some there, their shoulders were down. They looked like, I'm going to lose today. I just want to get out of here quickly and be done with this. There were others. Now, I might have been totally wrong, but at least that first impression was, let me try the people in Group A because Group B are already defeated by their own body language, their attitude, etc.
First impressions are lost in the world of technology because it's made screen and keyboard. We use the term friend. How many friends do you have on Facebook? Well, the reality is a friend is someone that you can look at and if they see your body language is down or looking depressed and your head is down, they can help pick you up. You see none of that on a screen and using a keyboard. So the first impression concept, there's five ways to make a first impression. You make it in person, you make it on the phone, you make it in writing, you make it with technology, and you make it by your reputation. And so when I explain all this to these kids, their eyes are open. And because I'm not telling them anything that isn't common sense, but unless you break it down and present it in a fashionable way that they can absorb and relate to, they're going to say to you, I understand it, but they really don't understand it unless you've broken it down into component pieces that make sense.
Bob, I just wanted to let our audience know that if they're just tuning in, our guest today is Bob Wolf. And his company is Hope Skills. And if you're fascinated by what you're hearing, what Bob is talking about, as we go through the show, we'll tell you how you can get in contact with him. He comes from Rockville Center. He's based here on Long Island. He lectures, you can tell us, schools, colleges. I see every day your name is associated with one of the local colleges, the local high schools, all over the place. Am I correct?
Well, yes. And when I started the company, which is Hope, the Students Bridge to Business, and the Hope Skills program. It was all about giving students the benefit of what I've learned in my life, the good, the not so good, and even the problems, because these kids have to realize that they're going to make mistakes. But the pressure on them today, especially here on Long Island and some of the other cities in the Northeast, is to excel at a very early age and not to fail. Well, the acronym for FAIL is First Approach in Learning, and we don't do anything in life the first time perfectly. Even prodigies don't do that. So failing is not the worst thing in the world. You learn when you fail. If you're a student athlete, an actor, a writer, the first things that you do in those particular experiences are usually not very good. So if someone could say you failed, but you really didn't fail because you're learning something to be applied differently the next time.
I think sometime today, what do they call them, the spin doctors, the media people, when we see a new star, whether it's a baseball player or a musical star or a comedy star, it sounds like they were literally the overnight success. So they were always great. This worked perfectly for them. But I'm sure in almost every case, like everyone else, they were booed off the stage. They went 0 for 5 one day. They didn't catch any passes on another, whatever it is. And they had their bad days, and as you said, they failed. But they kept coming back because the skills were there. And
well, a student this morning, very interesting, I was speaking up at a business boot camp at LIU Post, and discussing the fact that when things don't go well, how do you handle it? When you send out a resume and you don't get a response, when you send a thank you note and you don't get a response, what do you do? And I said, well, you learn to be pleasantly, personally, professionally persistent. Because if you don't go the game to be persistent and you don't play it with the intent of winning it, it's a nine-inning life game. And life, by the way, is a game, and it's got winners and it's got losers, and I tell the kids that because not everyone will win that particular game, but it's a long game of life. And so by defining the word career for them, for example, one's progress through life or a particular vocation, they understand that they don't exactly have to figure out their career when they're in high school.
And I guess most of us think we do. We have to know whether we're going to be a scientist, a football player, or a dancer. But there's a lot of turns in the road.
Well, some kids are fortunate to understand that they like medicine, they like engineering, they would like to pursue athletics, and that's fine. However, the career path for most of us, today the average student will have 12 to 15 jobs over the course of their career. So all I tell them is while you're in school, you're on the first step of the career path called being a student. So be the best one you can. Figure out what you like to do. Figure out what interests you have on the off time that you're not in the classroom. And develop them. Pursue them. And don't let someone in your family or your friends or your neighbors say, you shouldn't do that. Unless, of course, it's something you shouldn't be doing anyway. But the fact is, pursue your interests. And then learn the fact that, as I call it, the pop in business is all about the power of people. And the HOPE Skills program is based on the fact that 5 skills are necessary to meet, earn support from, and work effectively with people, pure and simple.
By the way, you have a lot of acronyms, and I know one of them is for the word HOPE. What does that stand for?
Well, when I got the word, I believe that help other people excel is important. So that was the acronym for the word HOPE when I applied for the trademark. And when I found that they were both available, I was quite surprised. So a student said to me once, well, it would be impossible for you to get a trademark on the word HOPE. I said, it would have been had I not asked. So what I tell these kids is if you want something in life, ask. And who do you normally ask? You ask people, but you have to ask them in the right way so they choose to help you or not.
But that word hope is so important because as long as we have hope, most of us are willing to try. We buy lotto tickets with the hope that we're that one in a million or what do they tell us, 175 billion or whatever the numbers are. But there's hope. There's that little dot in there.
Well,
that might
I looked
be
up
us.
The word hope in the dictionary. Because I don't like to use terms that I don't understand the meaning of. And the word hope is basically a passive word, wanting, waiting, and wishing for something and happening to happen. My attitude is, I'm going to give you some active hope. What can you do, actually do yourself every single day to make what you hope will happen actually have a chance to happen? And it begins with learning how to deal with and earn support from people.
I love that. I think that's terrific. Bob, who do you find is the best response? Is it the high school kids, college kids, business people that you work with?
Well, in the beginning, the program was brought to the college students because I felt they were the most transitional from academics to employment. And the good reception was terrific. Then the reception I was told to take at the high school, that the kids should be aware of these skills early enough. And I did that, and they were responsive very terrifically. Then I took it to a middle school about 2 years ago, and I was shocked to find 7th and 8th graders gave me the same response. And the reason I can say the responses have been good is every class I've ever spoken to, I've gotten letters or notes from every student. I have over 1,000 of them in the last 19 years because I want to know what these kids think. Was the presentation good? Was it helpful? Was it beneficial? Did I say something that made sense or not? And so I've got notes and letters at home that I've shared on my website. I've shared them with people. So I can tell you that it doesn't matter the grade. This common sense skill set is applicable to everyone. Even in the business world, I've spoken to some groups here in Long Island and been told, you know, Bob, we knew those skills were important, and we once used them. But your reminder was good. We needed that refresher from you. So it's this word of active hope.
Absolutely, and we all need it. Bob, we're at that point in the show where we're going to take a brief break, but we will be back after this brief intermission.
Portions of today's local news for our student-hosted program, My Hometown, have been made possible by Herald Community Newspapers. For the most comprehensive local news, visit liherald.com. Got a story to tell? Call 516-569-4000.
WHPC. And now we return to My Hometown.
We're back. Today we're speaking with Bob Wolf, founder of HOPE, the Students' Bridge to Business. Bob, can you take us behind that magic curtain and just give us a kind of an overview? What would go on at one of your sessions?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I did when I began presenting to students in a classroom was I began introducing myself to every student, walking up to them, shaking their hand, looking them in the eye, and saying, "Hi, I'm Bob. What is your name?" As I did that, there was a shock treatment from the students. They said to me, "No one's ever done that before." So I did the same thing in college. So I start off every program and every session with introducing myself to the students. And they've actually written to me and said, "You actually made it feel like you were talking to me." Well, I said, "I was." So the program begins with a connection with the students. It begins with me relating to them. I learned a long time ago that I'm fortunate to be able to relate well to kids, maybe because I'm still just a kid myself inside of an older body. I think that my acronym for KIDS is Knowledge in Developing Stages. So,
but that's an amazing skill in itself, just that you can relate to them and know what they need.
That's what made me realize when I said to my wife after the first couple of classes, I've got something here because these kids are accepting me. I have fun with them. I tell them the truth about myself. I don't come on as an adult who talks at them. They've written to me and said, "You didn't talk down to us. You didn't talk at us. You made us feel like we were your equal." And frankly, excuse me, but we've got 17, 18-year-olds flying airplanes in the military, fixing nuclear submarines, so I don't put them at a lower level of intellect or capability because they're in high school. So the whole concept was relate to them, connect with them, give them practical, useful information, and then collateral support materials like a little HOPE think card that I give the students after I speak to them that they can take with them and use as a reference when they get home.
Now I'm going to talk like a student. Do you give homework?
The homework is an interesting question, and the answer is yes, because you could take every one of the five skills, first impression, interpersonal, communication, presentation, and selling, and begin practicing them that day. Now, there are very few skills you'll learn in school where you can do that. You can learn to walk out of the classroom, go to your part-time job, go see your friends and neighbors, and smile, make eye contact, give them a handshake, and now you've learned how to make a positive first impression. What's amazing, they've come back to me and said, "I actually tried that at my part-time job, Bob, and the people really smiled back." And I said, "I'm not going to lie to you ever. If I don't tell you something that's truthful, you come tell me. Because everything I'm telling you now, I've done it myself, the good, the bad. I've made the trial and error process through my own efforts. But you will learn something today, and if you take it out and apply it, it will begin the process of you becoming a more effective, competitive person in anything you do in life.
Now, Bob, who actually contacts you to come in? Do the school principals? Is it a school district? Is it just a recommendation, a former student? If there's a principal listening today or a teacher and someone says, this is what we need, how do they know about you? How do they learn about you?
Well, in the very beginning, it was called selling. I was out there selling myself and getting some testimonials from some teachers and some educators and some parents. I do one-on-one sessions with kids. So today I get calls from principals. I get calls from athletic directors. I get calls from people in the BOCES program. I had a contract with BOCES 2 years ago. So it's a two-way street. I make the effort. I do a lot of promotional effort on my own. I write to a lot of people. And frankly, I put my hands out. I ask for help.
What would you say, what talent of yours has been the most helpful to you in the world you're in, the business world and now the teaching world?
It took me a while to develop it, but the ability to be aware of what people really need, to be cognizant of what they need versus what I think they need or what I think they want. You know, self-confidence and self-esteem is extremely important. It took me a long time to develop it myself, and these kids today struggle with it. So I learned that if I could relate to them and make them comfortable, allow them to be comfortable, as Mike Hebron, who's a golf pro here on the island, said to me once, he said, Bob, you don't make them comfortable, you let them be comfortable with you. And it was a very good lesson in English grammar. So my ability to relate to kids and just be comfortable around them and let them be comfortable around me is one of the things that's given me the opportunity to get into the classroom.
When you meet a new class, when you go in, and what would a typical session, is it an hour after school? Is it 3 hours on a Saturday? How do the schools work with you?
I usually will be called into a school to give a presentation to either a class or an assembly. That's during the day. I have done presentations to groups and organizations on the weekend and in evenings. So it really, I will adapt my time to what the need base is from the customer. In one-on-one sessions, it's all about getting together with the student and their parents to be sure that there's a comfort zone first, and then we do that wherever it's comfortable for them.
What have you found is the weakest spot with the students when you go? Is there one overall that whether you're in Suffolk County, Nassau County, colleges, or you're talking to IBM that kind of comes through?
I'm not sure that I could identify just one. However, years
There's
ago,
that many.
Well, there are numerous of those situations. But unfortunately, when I asked a particular teacher what he felt the kid's biggest concern was, I was surprised when he said to me, speaking to adults. And the reason being that most adults don't know how to speak to kids. They come at them in authoritative positions. They talk at them. I also found out that a lot of these kids struggle with self-confidence and self-esteem. They don't want to seem stupid. They don't want to seem out of the group. And now with all of the lack of human contact that they have and so much more on the screens and keyboard, their self-consciousness is significantly a problem for many of them.
Really? Okay. I would think they could hide behind the keyboard, and it would be just the opposite, that if they're not the tallest, the prettiest, the smartest, the most athletic, you could hide behind that. But
you can hide behind anything in a keyboard. I'm talking about in person. And these kids struggle. When I walk into a class and shake every kid's hand, there's always three or four of them that won't look me in the eye. And I find that very uncomfortable for them. I'm greeting them. I'm telling them who I am. I'm smiling. I'm shaking their hand. And they're not looking at me. Kind of feel there's something going on there. So I work very hard at zeroing in on that kid during the classroom presentation to get their attention.
Bob, I think so many of us are told that, you know, what's that person's IQ? And will that get them into this college or that club or whatever? But we're finding on the success shows that it's the interpersonal skills and dealing with people, exactly what you're teaching today and what reaches out, that really makes the difference. You use a term, the competitive edge. How does that apply for these students when they finish your course?
Well, it's very interesting because the Harvard Business Review blog about a year and a half ago listed six reasons why people were being laid off. And four of the six had direct relationship to dealing with people. Number four actually said they have very poor interpersonal skills, even those who were considered to be the brightest. So since the term interpersonal skills has such a broad interpretation by so many people, my ability to identify those skills, kindness, respect, honesty, integrity, politeness, being friendly, being caring, those are the things that get the kids to look at me like, wow, I keep hearing that, but I didn't know how important it was. So they really don't know how important some of these basic skills are.
And honestly, that even for summer jobs or part-time jobs, that can turn into dollars for them when you say competitive edge, because somebody sees them and they have their lights on and now they've gone to your course. They're probably going to be more aware of how to treat that person, maybe just how to answer the phone or open the door.
Well, you can smile on the phone. I tell the kids, when you make a first impression on the phone, smile, because you can see it. And if you're a waiter, a bartender, working at a delicatessen, and you learn how to smile at people, sometimes that accrues to some financial benefit, especially as a waiter, bartender, or someone working at a McDonald's. I've left a lot of kids little tips just for the busboy who did a good job cleaning my table or bringing me extra water. So there is a benefit, and the competitive edge in life is life's a game, and it's competitive. And without certain skills, you have a less confident chance of being a competitively successful person.
Are there any TV shows that you reference in your lectures? There's so many business shows today, Tabitha Takes Over, Bar Rescue, Shark Tank. Any of those that you advise the kids, or do they talk about them?
The one that I think might relate a little bit, I don't watch a lot of TV, but essentially I think Shark Tank is interesting because it encompasses all five of the HOPE skills. It's the first impression. It's the interpersonal connection with the group of investors. It's the ability to communicate your story. It's the ability to present it in a very confident, exciting way, and your ability to sell and get the order.
Bob, one final tip that you leave with our audience so we can go out and get that competitive edge.
You can't know enough good people in life, and your ability to earn their support is based upon their ability to accept you and see you as someone that they want to help, not hinder or hurt.
Bob Wolf, we want to thank you for being with us today on My Hometown on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, and would like to remind our audience that if they'd like to know more about Bob Wolf, they can get in touch with you at bobwolf@hopeskills.com. Am I correct?
You're correct, and I really thank you very much for the opportunity. I've enjoyed this.
It's been a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot, so we're going to talk after the show.
Thank you.
We'd like to get your feedback on My Hometown. Send your comments to whpc@ncc.edu. My Hometown is produced by Jim Green, executive producer. Nassau Community College, where success starts and continues. Till next time, this is Bill St. James. And remember, there's no town like your hometown.